You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5, and on the HD2 dial, and 107.7 on your FM dial. And again, we said 14 minutes before 12, 17 degrees here in Central Minnesota. Beautiful-looking morning in Chasmland. Well, we have our guest on the line, our program number 185. We have Jolene Wendinger on the line, and we're going to go to the phone line now and bring her in and say, good morning, Jolene. How are you doing?
I am doing great. You have to do great when the sun is shining.
Absolutely. Where are you at this morning, Jolene?
I actually am home now. I've only been home for about 20 minutes.
Okay.
I had Monday through Friday in sunny Arizona visiting friends.
Well, good for you. Awesome. And how was things in Arizona?
Beautiful. It was 27 when I got on the plane in Minnesota, and it was 72 when I landed in Phoenix. So I'll take that.
Oh, for sure. And you said in New Ulm this morning, it is what?
It's 21 degrees.
21 degrees, and the sun is shining, so that's a good thing. You bet.
Yes, it is. And I think maybe if I sit long enough, that pile of snow might melt yet before too long.
There you go. Are you guys out on the farm then, Jolene, or do you live in town?
I am still out on the farm.
Out on the farm.
Paul and I moved here when we got married in 1972, and so I am still here.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you were married to Paul, and Paul left us how long ago was that again?
Paul passed away on November 20th, 2010.
Oh, yes. Already 7 years now. Going to be 7 years. My goodness.
Going to be 7 years already. I'm not quite certain where that time went.
Oh, isn't that true? And how many children?
But I tell everybody, you know, some people say, well, you know, his life was too short. You know what? He probably did more and lived more in 59 years than what a normal person can do in 79. So,
isn't that true?
Yeah, exactly. He took nothing for granted. He just lived every day.
And how many children were you used to blessed with?
We have five children.
Five children. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Three girls and two boys.
And they are? The name is?
It's Chris as our oldest, uh-huh. And then John, uh-huh. Joey, Carrie, and Kelly. We had five kids in 7 years.
Oh, my gosh. So you were busy then.
Very busy. Uh-huh. I was a stay-at-home mom for a good number of years.
Well, good for you. And how did you and Paul happen to meet?
Actually, it's kind of a funny situation. Growing up, I didn't really listen to a lot of old-time music, even though my parents did.
Mm-hmm.
But one evening, my mom called me in when Bandwagon was playing, and she said, look at this little boy on Bandwagon. And it was, at that time, Peter and Paul. Well,
uh-huh.
That, you know, I put that out of my head.
Sure.
And then I went to Gibbon to a dance one time, and the band actually was not playing. But Paul was a good dancer, and he asked me to dance.
Oh,
and that's
goodness.
Where we met. That was in 1969.
Really? At the Gibbon Ballroom?
At the Gibbon Ballroom, that's where we had our wedding reception and our dance. So lots of good memories of the good old Gibbon Ballroom.
Absolutely. Well, I understand, and you told me, otherwise I wouldn't have known, but at one point you were part of the Wendinger Band. Tell us how that all came to be.
I was. I think maybe my first job was, let's see, maybe Beaver Creek. I'm not positive.
Uh-huh.
And then I played for about 3 years until our third child was born, and I decided the road was not for me.
Sure.
I was better off staying at home. I played keyboard.
Uh-huh.
And actually, Urban Cease even hired me for a few jobs.
Well, that's neat. You bet.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed the polka music by then, and I enjoyed meeting all the people and going out and dancing. And I think every one of our kids could do the polka hop by the time they were 2 years old.
Oh, I'll bet. neat. Now, so did you take lessons, or how'd you get started playing the keyboard?
I actually did take lessons. I grew up in Morgan, Minnesota.
Okay.
And I took piano lessons in Morgan, and then I took organ lessons in Redwood Falls. And I played organ in church for, well, probably 9 through 12 when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just got started chording a little bit. You know, when Paul would play, I'd chord along. And so then they needed somebody on the piano every now and then, and so I went along, and that's how I got into it.
Oh, my goodness. Now, the Wendingers, do you know how far back they go? I mean, now you guys got married in 69, so when did Peter and Paul actually form?
gosh, I don't know the exact year. I know it's all written down, but mm-hmm. Paul was 9 and Peter was 11 when they started playing.
Really? That young?
Yes. Yes. Everybody thinks, well, they must have come from a musical background, but they didn't. When I take people traveling, I say that their mother played cards and their dad played the radio. They had no musical background. But they were friends of bands like Whoopi John, Fez Fritchie, Harold Laffemacher, Christy Hengel. And that's exactly how they found their concertinas, was at a Christy Hengel display one year at Polka Day in New Ulm.
Oh, my goodness. And now, who were the parents? Who were Pete and Paul's parents?
Their parents were Herbert and Eleonora Wendinger.
Okay.
From St. George, Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And they only had the two sons, Peter and Paul.
No other siblings, then?
No other siblings.
Oh, my gosh. And so they both started playing the concertina at the same time?
I believe Paul might have taken the first lesson. It sat in a corner for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found a concertina player in Hutchinson, Minnesota. Her name was Jeanette Weber.
Oh.
And Paul took his lesson, and about half an hour later, Peter took one, too, and it was history from then on in.
Sure, you bet. And boy, they've done so well. Now, it must be quite interesting there, because that was the start, the band. But then before that, of course, the farms were there, and you can tell us a little bit about that. And then the travel agency. So how it must be just LLC or something now these days, huh?
Well, I tell you what, we had a fast-paced life. Yes, they had the polka band.
Mm-hmm.
In the highlight of their band career, they played 180 jobs in that year.
Oh, my word.
They were the house band for the grand opening of the Mall of America, if you'll remember Camp Snoopy.
Yes.
So they were every day on the road to Camp Snoopy for, I don't know, possibly a month. I'm not quite sure how long that went for that grand opening.
Wow.
But there was farming, there was hay to bale, there were crops to plant, there were cows to milk, there were pigs to feed, all that.
Oh.
And yeah, and then the travel business started in 1976.
Okay. And today, the two farms are still going, the band is still going, and the travel, too, of course, huh?
It still is, yes.
Oh, my word,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now, your capacity with, I know you answer the phone quite often, and when I need CDs, you'll get them to me. What else do you all do, then?
I actually do most of the reservations that come through.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, yes, mail out the CDs, take phone calls, and we put out a mailing of about 4,800 envelopes three times a year. And therefore, everything for the brochures has to be proofread, printed, folded, and then we have volunteers who come over and we stuff everything in envelopes.
Oh, my goodness. And where is this all done? Now, do you have like a corporate office or in one of the houses, or where do you...
We are located in the basement of Peter and Dodie's home, which is in St. George, Minnesota. That is where their parents actually used to live when they moved off the farm.
Okay.
And then when they passed on, then Peter and Dodie moved into the home, and so everything is in the basement of the home.
Okay. And now, Peter had a farm as well, so is somebody else operating that?
Yes, their daughter is on that farm.
On that farm, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And those farms are actually, what, north of New Ulm, near Klosner, if I remember?
Well, St. George.
St. George,
Peter's
okay.
Peter's farm is between St. George and Gibbon, Minnesota.
Okay.
And my farm is between New Ulm and then the road that runs between Klosner and St. George. I'm closer to New Ulm, where you go down into the river bottom.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, as you were playing, you must have developed some favorites over the years. Did you get in on any of the recordings? Were you on?
You know, and I can't even tell you which ones. It was some of the earlier recordings that
okay.
I was on.
That you're on keyboard, okay.
Uh-huh. But, you know, I didn't pull that up before you called me, so
no,
the actual names of them, I do not know.
Sure, not a problem.
Yeah.
No, that's real good. Your favorites, did you enjoy the polkas or waltzes, or what was the most fun to play keyboard on?
Probably the polkas.
Polkas, you like that?
Yep, I like polkas.
Okay. You have a favorite in mind?
Oh, let's see. I like What Do They Do in Minnesota.
I wasn't
on that album, but it's one of my favorite polkas.
Sure, yeah. And we'll hear that one coming up in our next segment.
And for a favorite waltz, I really like Bill's Waltz, because nobody played it like Paul did.
Yes, you bet. Now, one neat thing I thought was really neat was when they released one of their later CDs here, it was actually released after Paul had passed away, but he did Bobby's Polka, and I don't know which other one, but he did a couple of them that he never got to hear released, but he had recorded them prior to his death, and I thought
That was correct.
So special. Yeah,
that's correct, because he had spent 90 days at St. Mary's Hospital in Rochester. They actually were so impressed that he had played concertina that they brought a machine in that would help him to lift the concertina. And so then he could play a little bit, but then after a while he no longer had the strength to do that. But he was able to play those songs when he was in the hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yes, he did get them recorded when he was still playing. And so it really was neat to hear that when that recording came out.
Oh, my gosh. That's wonderful. Well, you said he passed away, now, what, in 2000? What year was it again?
2010.
All right.
Yes.
How long did he have the cancer?
I believe he was diagnosed about 4 years prior to that. He had been playing a job in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually the Humboldt Polka Festival. I was not along that job, and he started to not feel well, and he ended up in the hospital in that area.
Okay.
And they didn't really know what was going on. So then when he came back home, he did some doctoring, New Ulm, Mankato, and then they sent him to the Twin Cities, and that's where they actually diagnosed his cancer.
Okay.
But the doctors in the Twin Cities did not really agree with that type of medication and chemo and all their protocols, so they wrote a letter to get him into Mayo Clinic in Rochester. So that is where he did all his treatment.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and, you know, I think I've told you on the phone, but for the listener's sake, my impression, I met Paul one occasion, and he used to host some of the bus trips, and we had went to, with our local bus company here, we had went to a Daniel O'Donnell concert at the Target Center, and it was packed, and there was tons of buses there, and so after the concert was over, we're standing out in front waiting for our bus to come up front, and they're funneling these buses through and through. And all of a sudden, I looked over and I recognized Paul from pictures on the albums and stuff. And I walked up to him and I said, "You're Paul Wendinger." And he said, "Yeah, who are you?" So I introduced myself. And we had just the nicest conversation there before our buses finally came. And that was my one occasion getting to meet Paul Wendinger. So
he loved the travel. He loved the people and the traveling. And Daniel O'Donnell actually got to be a personal friend of ours. And it just was neat. You know, to have someone like that in our lives.
Isn't that true? That's mm-hmm. so great. You bet. Well, Jolene, we've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. If I can ask you to stand by, I need to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back and continue the conversation.
All right. I will be here.
All right. So, Cy here with the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages. Speaking of sausages, the St. Joe Meat Market makes a wide variety of sausages. We start with fresh trimmings, add just the right amount of spices and flavorings to produce some very tasty products. A lot of our recipes go back quite a few years. I was just a youngster, but I can still remember my grandpa, Alling, yes, Al Funnenstein Sr., making that good homemade pork sausage. Of course, my dad, Junior Funnenstein, continued that great tradition of great homemade sausage, passing on those great recipes to us, now the third generation, at the St. Joe Meat Market. And, at the St. Joe Meat Market, we still make that homemade bologna, Franks and wieners, the skin-on and now skinless wieners. Our ever-popular country-style sausage is always available in many forms, fresh, bulk, patties, continuous, and or rope-style, breakfast links and brats. We still make that great homemade liver sausage, blood sausage, and head cheese. Dad's recipe for summer sausage continues to be a constant seller. Over the past few years, jerky and snack sticks have risen in popularity with numerous flavors available. At the St. Joe Meat Market, we've had a lot of success with our homemade Braunschweiger, winning numerous awards over the past few years. So you can see why, for many years, on our invoice, it says the St. Joe Meat Market, homemade sausage our specialty. But it does make you wonder what Grandpa would say now when I tell you that you can like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913. Yes, technology has certainly put us in a different world from what our ancestors knew. Well, one thing that hasn't changed is that great homemade sausage and customer service that you've come to know and appreciate at the St. Joe Meat Market. As always, a big thank you from the whole gang at the St. Joe Meat Market. And Jolene, for being our guest here on the program, and this is how it works. We put up a real nice meat package, and along with Chasm, we send that out to you, priority mail. You get it in a day or so, and hope that you and the family around you can enjoy that in good health. How is that for you?
That will be just perfect.
Well, good. You indulge in a few brats once in a while, or you have over the years?
Oh, you bet.
All the polka fests and all the things that the Wendingers have done? You bet.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Well,
yep. I like to eat. I love eating out because then I don't have to stay at home and do the dishes.
There you go. Jolene, tell us some of your favorite fellow musicians with the Wendingers over the years.
Okay, well, we have some musicians, of course, that have been with our band forever.
Yes.
And one is our leader, Peter, who is probably now, it's over 50 years that he's had the band.
Uh-huh.
Steve Moran and Mike Simon, both are over 40 years with our group.
And they play?
Steve plays about anything you can imagine, except he does not play harp.
Okay.
He said, I'm not ready for that one yet.
Okay.
But he recently taught himself also how to play the concertina. So,
okay.
I mean, very talented. Mike is basically vocals. Steve is also vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Trombones, trumpets, all the brass.
Sure.
Is what those two gentlemen play.
Mm-hmm.
John was our drummer for 27 years.
Okay.
Now, my grandson has sort of taken on the drumming responsibilities.
Oh, really?
Gary Schrader was with the band and not with the band. Now he's back with the band. And the same with Larry Repke.
Mm-hmm.
Back and forth. You know, they play with other bands also,
sure. And
then they play with the group. So you meet a lot of wonderful people that way.
Yeah,
it gets to be more like family.
You bet. And who's doing the keyboard work these days then?
Steve Moran
does.
He plays keyboard. He plays trumpet or trombone all at the same time.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. And are they traveling pretty much four-piece, five-piece these days?
A lot of the closer jobs are five-piece. Some are four-piece. Some actually are three-piece if people want just a little bit of music in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
For the majority, though, it is still five-piece.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now when Peter is traveling, who does the concertina work then?
Okay, we have several gentlemen who help us out with that. One is Steve's son, Mr. Tom Moran.
Okay.
I always tell everybody when I close my eyes, I think that Paul is back on the stage because he has learned his style so closely.
Oh.
Yeah, he does an excellent job.
Uh-huh.
Another person who has helped us out is Donnie Klossner.
Oh, yes.
Excuse me.
Sure.
Donnie Klossner, of course, everyone knows Donnie.
Uh-huh.
And he actually helped us out last weekend at the fundraiser in New Ulm.
Mm-hmm.
And Harvey Becker also will help us out on concertina.
Oh, great.
And accordion, on accordion.
Mm-hmm.
So there, we get by. There are not many jobs in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
It picks up again when Peter comes home the end of March.
Sure. Okay. That's wonderful. In the travel business, you're busy as ever, I understand?
We are very busy, yes. Uh-huh. We do about 26 group tours a year.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila, who is my niece and Peter and Dodie's daughter, does the majority of the traveling for us.
Mm-hmm.
She loves it. She had gone to school to be a school teacher, and that didn't exactly pan out for her. So she says, when I travel and I take the people along, I can teach every day that I'm on the road, and she does an excellent job.
So who figures out where you're going to go and when you're going to go, and who does all the scheduling?
It's pretty much Peter and Sheila. Sheila is learning the ropes from her dad.
Okay.
Dodie does the accounting, and so everybody has their own little job.
Oh, nice. That's nice. You bet. Any more of the family played along with the band over the years? You mentioned John and you mentioned your grandson. Any other the family members playing along?
I have another grandson who will sit in once in a while on saxophone. He likes to sit in at some of the area festivals. And then I have a little grandson who's going to, or who is 12 years old, 10 mm-hmm. years old, I'm sorry, can't keep track of them all. There's 15 of them.
Uh-huh.
And he is also learning to play drums. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, he would love to just sit in, you know,
sure.
at a job and maybe play a set of polkas or something. So no concertina players, though.
Not so far, huh? Oh,
not
my.
So far.
Sure.
That same little guy has been trying it out. But the concertina is a little bit heavy for him, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, that's great. And it would be just fun to see that Wendinger name continue if one of them would come forward. But, yeah, such a warm tradition that the Wendingers have had over the years, starting back way back when with just the two twin concertinas. I think that's the name of the first CD that I seen from them,
yes.
Twin Concertinas. And
yep,
since,
and it was all concertina solos. Obviously, they did not have any brass at that time. They had
sure.
a banjo player, a drummer, and the concertina players.
Sure. One person we failed to mention when you were mentioning concertina players that have helped out over the years, a good friend of yours and mine, Carl Hartwig, huh?
Yes, Carl has helped us out over the years. We don't see so much of Carl anymore, though. So.
Oh, he's a busy guy on the run all
yes,
the time.
Yes, he is.
But
yes, he is.
He's been on some of the recordings, and what a asset he is to a recording, huh?
Absolutely. There's nobody that can play like Carl.
That's true. You bet. You bet. Well, talking about the recordings, do you know off the top of your head, Jolene, how many CDs are out there now available by the Wendingers?
I think I knew you were going to ask me that.
I think I've got them all here. I've got.
I have a sheet here, too, and some of them have been combined.
Mm-hmm.
But in all, I believe we have like 25 now that are still for sale. But,
okay.
you know, some of them you obviously can't sell or even make the cassettes anymore.
Right,
so
right.
All in all, I think there's like 25 of them.
Right. I think about 16 CDs, that's what I've got in the box here. And I didn't check to make sure I had them all, but it's in that neighborhood. There's a lot
mm-hmm.
of good stuff from the early years. Do you happen to have a favorite? Do you... if you were going to grab one out of the pile, is there one that stands out in your mind?
I like Merry Ground of Music.
That is a good one. And
I play that one when I travel. I play that one on the motor coach, and it just has, I don't know, it has such a nice variety, and the harmony is excellent on it.
Sure.
And then the very last song on there, God Bless America Again,
mm-hmm.
The recitation on there was done by Justin Bernick, and at that time he was 8 years old,
oh,
and now
goodness.
He's 20, and that is the grandson that is drumming with the band.
Oh, my goodness. We'll have to play that one, too, in the upcoming segment.
Yes, that is still my very favorite CD. The other one that I truly like is our modern CD.
Oh, yes, Modern
and
Melodies.
I get a lot of requests for that one.
Sure, sure. I was also going to mention, you mentioned that Merry-Go-Round of Music CD. There's one on there that gets a lot of attention, If Jesus Was Norwegian.
Absolutely. That is a song that they heard at Husfest.
Okay.
You either like it or you don't.
Yep.
And they heard it at Husfest, and it was a cowboy band that was playing it, and they gave the guys the music for it.
Okay. That's
mm-hmm.
that's wonderful. Well, we're nearing the end of our segment here, Jolene, and I always ask everybody before I let them go, is there a special memory or a special time that you think back that sticks out in your mind with the band or being along or anything over the years that you could share with the listeners?
A special memory that I had with the band was on July 31st, 1976. I was 13 days overdue, and we had played the Polka Festival at Gibbon Ballroom.
Uh-huh.
And Paul asked me if I wanted to stay home, and I said, no, I'm not going to stay home. We played Fox Lake Ballroom in Sherburn that night.
Uh-huh.
So I went along, but decided that my son was going to arrive as I was sitting on the stage. So Paul and I headed home, back to New Ulm, got stopped by the cop, and my son took his time. He wasn't born until the next day on August 1st.
Oh, really? And which one was that one? Was that John?
That is Joey.
Oh, that was Joey. Okay.
That is Joey.
Oh, my goodness. Some fond memories there. That's a good one. Oh,
and I think my best memory with Paul, and probably I shouldn't say it's my best memory, but the memory that really opened up our hearts to the whole world was, obviously, you know that Paul did not keep anything inside. From day one when he was diagnosed, he talked about his illness.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to write, and I started a Caring Bridge site.
Oh, that's right.
And on that Caring Bridge site, I had 757 pages of journaling and 155,357 people checked the website.
Oh, my word. I was one of those.
People from all over the United States. And
wow.
Even some, you know, like from Germany that he had met also in Germany. It was unreal.
Well, I know that today he is just looking down and just beaming because so proud of how things have gone.
You bet. You bet.
Well, awesome. Well, with that, we're going to let you run, Jolene. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us, our 185th program. The good Lord willing, I tell each and every one, we'll do this thing again sometime. You and I are both here. We'll do this program again. And again, thank you so much for joining us on our program.
Thank you, Cy, and keep on ordering those CDs.
All right, we'll do that. And there she goes. Jolene Wendinger, our 185th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. And that now takes us to 12 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. And we are at 19 degrees here in central Minnesota. Don't go away. We'll be right back with music by the Wendinger Band.